Welcome back to Zlatplay Cycling Podcast. Today was a legendary stage in Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar isn't invincible. Everyone almost thought he's invincible, especially after the Kabul stage. But yeah, Jonas Vingegaard today proved that it's possible to crack Tadej Pogacar. I'm still in shock. After the stage, I was screaming outside of my home and I was topless. Yeah, so I was pretty excited. What about you, Naichka? How excited were you?
I mean, yeah, I was pretty excited. I knew this would happen, of course, but it's still nice to see. I didn't expect Pogacar to drop 3 minutes, but I think, yeah, he kind of fucked up on the Galibier, which led to this, all of this, because, yeah, that was probably below his normal level, but yeah, Jonas Vingegaard, expected winner on Granon. He, yeah, dominated the stage, pretty much. Jumbo tried a lot of stuff earlier.
Yeah, maybe Jumbo Visma tactics weren't perfect, but it didn't matter as Jonas Vingegaard is maybe stronger than Bjarn Riis, and he'll break Autocon record this Tour.
This is why Jumbo win races. They never in no race in this world do they have good, or maybe they have sometimes good tactics, but mostly they have bad tactics and never perfect tactics.
Yeah,
but they have three of the five best riders in the world: Roglic, Vingegaard, and Van Aert.
Oh my
That's
god.
That's why they win races.
Van Aert is top five. Holy fuck.
Van Aert is the fifth. Van Aert is the fifth.
Before the stage, you had a tweet that Jonas would do what he did. And yeah, you can take a big victory lap.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I don't think it was too surprising if you look closely. I don't think Pogacar is in the 2020 shape anymore, where he still got dropped on Col de la Loze on an easier climb, not even as high. And similar circumstances with pacing hard on this day before. Pogacar, like, I think he knew since Super Planche de Belfi that Vingegaard is going to drop him today, because he went aggressive for every second, sprinted for every line to get maybe 1 second on Vingegaard. So yeah, it seems kind of weird at the time, but yeah, it's probably because he knew that Vingegaard was going to drop him today. And I think he tried bluffing a lot when he attacked on the Galibier against Vingegaard. Tried to bluff Jonas into not attacking him later on, which he obviously did in the end. But yeah, Jumbo kind of sent Roglic on a few attacks on Galibier and even before on Telegraph without pacing too much.
It was crazy because on Telegraph, Jumbo Visma didn't even use the Sepp Kuss and Stefan Kruijswijk. And then I have a question, like, why the fuck you need strong domestiques if you're not even using them? So what was the point of strong domestiques?
I don't fucking know what they were doing. They just launched Roglic, which then kind of got made a three-man group. Laporte dropping back, four or five men. Laporte dropping back, then they had Roglic, Vingegaard, Thomas, and Pogacar. They tried rolling attacks with Pogacar, with Roglic and Vingegaard on the other side.
That was on like 3 or 5%.
Yeah, I don't really get it, but maybe it hurt Pogacar in the end. I don't really think so, because he's pretty heavy for a GC rider, 66, 67 kilogram. And he probably was closing those moves pretty easily off Vingegaard and Roglic, who up it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
Pogacar
as heavy on that.
Much heavier than he was in 2019 Vuelta or even 2020 Tour de France. Here he looks
like a
classic rider, rider.
Yeah, 2020 was 66 kilogram, and I think 2019 he might have been even lighter. He looked really skinny there, so maybe 65 or even lighter. So, and now he looks like 67. His sprint is insane. That's something to consider. The group with Kuss and Kruijswijk eventually caught up again, and the other GC riders as well.
Yeah,
they
maybe you
for
can
a bit
say how many watts per kilo they did on Galibier.
Oh yeah, so they paced for a bit, then Pogacar attacked, actually completely cracked Roglic. Jonas was the only one at the top. Bardet was close, Thomas was close, they all got back on the descent. But on the climb, it was 5.52 watts per kilogram for Pogacar for nearly 49 minutes, 5.49 for Vingegaard, because Pogacar paced at the end and didn't get as much draft as Jonas. So yeah, they went really hard on the Galibier Even if they didn't really pace consistently, it was start, stop, attacking here and there. But yeah, Pogacar already wasted a lot of energy here, I think, especially at 2,600 meters altitude. And I think that what he did here on the Galibier really cooked him for the Granon, which led to him maybe losing 3 minutes instead of 90 seconds or similar. Because he attacked Jonas multiple times, he even attacked Jonas like at the base, he attacked Roglic and Vingegaard when they were in the three-man group, and then he also attacked Kreuzweig when he was pacing. But yeah, I don't really know what he was doing. Maybe he was bluffing, maybe he was just feeling really good on that climb because it was shallow and he has an advantage with 66 kilogram
I compared think to Pogacar's tactic was the best defense is offense. So he knew he would be isolated and there are multiple Jumbo-Visma riders, so he had no choice. Yeah, that kind of worked because Roglic cracked the watts per kilo stuff is actually pretty impressive. It's altitude, and they did also Col du Telegraph before this, which also is kind of big climb. Yeah,
so this was a really hard stage, especially with the altitude and the heat as well, which it was pretty much 30 degrees for the entire stage.
Strava had like even close to 40 degrees.
Yeah, 33 degree average on Sepp Kuss Strava, but the Strava had sheer pressure, always overheats a bit in the sun. So yeah, it was really hot, especially at that height where you are really exposed to the sun as well.
This is like perfect anti-Pogacar stage. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's long climbs altitude. And altitude. It's like last year Van Tour, but it was even crazier, even hotter, even longer climbs. Harder climbs and even higher altitude.
Yeah, especially like the Granon, which is really steep. So that, doesn't suit Pogacar at all. So overall, Jonas, they did, according to Sepp Kuss Strava, they did the Telegraph at around 5.4 watts per kilogram, which is also really high pace. Then the Galibier at around 5.5 watts per kilogram, and then Jonas Vingegaard. After Mika paced the first half of the Granon, Jonas attacked. I think Bardet and Quintana were already up the road attacking early, and Jonas flew past all of them, dropping Pogacar easily. He couldn't even respond to the initial kick, which he usually can, even if he's cooked. And dominated the stage, completely cracked Pogacar. Put a minute also into Quintana, who was second, 3 minutes into Pogacar, and 6.1 watts per kilogram for him on this stage for 55 minutes, which is really, really high performance after that 5.5 on Galibier, 5.4 on Telegraph, and as well the altitude, because Col du Granon also goes up to 2,400 meter altitude.
It's one of the greatest high altitude performances ever. Of course, there's Jan Ulrich stuff in 90s. Yes, this is in the post Lance here. This is one of the greatest, definitely.
Or Dennis on Stelvio. These are the two big ones. Altitude performances.
After Jonas attacked, like I knew he has won because
Pogacar
was behind the mic and he was even trying to close.
Yeah, Micah was dropping Pogacar. I've never seen Pogacar like that. He was rocking all over the bike. Yeah, this jersey unzipped, which we have rarely seen, I think only on the Col de la Loz. He was rocking all over the bike. He didn't look good. He was basically standing still at points. And I think they paced just too hard with Micah. Micah was going pretty hard at the start.
I think the problem was that Pogacar always says to his domestiques to pace harder.
Yeah.
And also he said on La Planche stage that Micah stopped pace too early. Maybe Micah thought if he would pace as hard as possible, it will be better for Pogacar. But this time that backfired massively and Yui fucked up massively.
I don't know what they were doing. Micah was maybe even stronger than Pogacar on this final climb. He was really good. Despite he was like really far down on the Galibier, but he came back, of course, because Wout brought him back because there was Roglic as well in that group. So that's actually a completely stupid move of wasting Wout to bring back Roglic. Actually turned it a good move because
really
Micah set a really hard pace and basically set up Vingegaard.
Yeah, because Roglic group was like 1 minute back from Vingegaard, and Wout waited for them, not Jonas, and then Roglic in the end like pulled for how many 10 seconds? It was really ended so quickly.
Kuss and Cruz like also pulled like for 10 seconds. They were done. I don't know what happened. Probably spent too much on Galibier, especially Roglic.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that if you go over. If you go in the red zone at the high altitude, at really high altitude, like they were like over 2,000 meters, then you are fucked and then you can't recover. Yeah, at least that's what Ryder says. And it looks like, because Pogacar cracked really badly.
Pogacar was fully done. Like that was maybe a bigger choke than Roglic in 2020, because this was crazy.
Because it's not stage 20.
It's not stage. It's not. It's. I think it's still similar. He lost 3 minutes. If he lost 90 seconds, he would still be completely in contention of this race.
But before the stage, Pogacar already had only 5 teammates. Langen tested positive for COVID. Also, who else?
But I don't think the teammates were the problem today.
I think there's a chance Pogacar has COVID even right now, because after the yesterday stage, he coughed in the interview, and Micah has COVID, but he isn't too viral, so he's allowed to start like Bob Jungels, who won the stage. I think Pogacar, if he loses tomorrow on Alpduez like 5 minutes or 3 minutes, he's DNF this race. And
I think he'll try for a big Volta. I think he'll try a big move. I don't crowd a fail early on Alpe. Let's see if it works. Maybe a DNFs with COVID or without COVID afterwards. If it doesn't work, anyways, I don't think it is was below his expected performance for the day. He spent too much on Galibier. He overestimated himself, and that's why I think he did more, did less, clearly less watts per kilogram than we expected him. But I think if he did Galibier more. More sensibly, he would have only lost 90 seconds doing the expected 5.9 watts per kilogram or so that we would have expected for Pogacar on this stage.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it was really a tactical fuck-up from him for... which isn't too rare, because usually Pogacar always makes the right decision in races.
Yeah, like if you combine Telegraph and Galibier, it's like 1 hour, 25-minute climb. So it's a really long climb if you combine
them. And they pace like, with Telegraph at 5.4, they pace at like 5.5 the entire 1 hour 30. And which you also have to consider is that Roglic established that like four-man group between at the top of Telegraph, and then Laporte pulled full in the valley. So there was really no recovering before the Galibier. So yeah, I don't think Jumbo made everything perfectly today, but they executed it well in the end, and Jonas was just the strongest rider in the race.
They must kill tomorrow Pogacar and other contenders on Alpduez. Like they must 100% pace for the stage victory. Jonas right now at the GC, he's also in GC, is 1.4. So if they do tomorrow everything perfect, they might guarantee a GC win, almost guaranteed, because of course there's a COVID, but it's looking like Jumbo are, in this case, they are avoiding COVID really, really well. Yeah, if tomorrow Jonas isn't winning, then I don't know. Yeah, it will be really surprising to me if he isn't winning tomorrow.
Yeah, Jumbo should stick guy train the stage, I believe. Just put it in high pace.
Yeah, try to break like a Lance record. It's not record Lance, but like Lance's
you can't break
time.
Break Lance's time. You can't break the Pantani times.
Yeah, Pantani had 36 minutes 40 seconds, which is like 6.6 watts.
It's more. It's like 6. Maybe in these times with lighter bikes, it's maybe 6.7, because he did 6.8 or something crazy. Yeah, I don't think they can get
fit.
They can maybe get the Lance times.
Yeah, Lance time was in 2001 when he attacked Ulrich at the base of the climb, and when he looked at the Ulrich in ice, it was 38 minutes and 3 seconds. Quintana in 2015 did 39 minutes and 22 seconds. So he did it in like 1 minute and 19 seconds slower than Lance. But it would be fun.
Quintana also in that stage attacked already in the crowd of Fairheart. So, he could have probably gone 30 seconds faster.
Yeah, Nofi is maybe even better.
Yeah, he Quintana is flying, man.
Actually, today I thought he would win because I thought, yeah, UAE would pace really slow, but they didn't pace slow, and I thought maybe Jonas isn't. Like, I really was surprised he didn't attack earlier on the, like, steepest gradients, but yeah.
I think if he attacks earlier, probably cooks Pogacar even more and puts, like, 5 minutes into him, because I think Pogacar was also fully mentally cracked at the end, because he got dropped, like, by Godu, Yates, and, like, I think he was fucked. He also announced Pogacar that he will attack tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. If he's in good shape again, he might be. We'll see. But I don't think he can drop Jonas either way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if Pogacar does his stage 20 2022 preparation for tomorrow.
Sleeping in the different hotel or what it was.
Yeah.
I don't
know what.
No recon ride. We'll see. But I don't think, whatever happens, I don't think he can drop Jonas. I hope Quintana will be in good shape again tomorrow. Because
Thomas might win if they pace Aldua really slow, because Thomas can kick for last like 5 minutes really well.
Yeah, Thomas is looking really good. Podium should be a lock for him. Bardet also third today. I don't think tomorrow suits him as much because he's really good at altitude, I think.
Yeah,
which tomorrow is also altitude, but Alpe d'Huez is not as high altitude, but he should be fine. Mas today really cracked. I think from what we've seen, he's just bad at altitude, because last year was bad on Portet and good on Ardiden, and today all again altitude and was really bad. So
yeah, maybe you're so good at seeing these things. Like, you saw that Vlasov is shit at long climbs.
That was hard to see, man. He lost 4 minutes on every climb. He lost 5 minutes again today, which it was. I mean, Vlasov was closer to Pogacar than Pogacar was to Jonas, I think.
Yeah. So that says a lot. I legit hope tomorrow Jonas kills GC, so Jumbo also paces Autocam stage to try to break just race record. Like, it will be really fun to see.
It's not possible.
Everything's possible.
Jonas is in insane shape. I agree, but he would need, 6.7 for 35? I don't think it's possible. But he can get a really good time.
Maybe a tailwind. It will be like legit strong tailwind. Yeah.
Oh, man. It would be hype.
Yeah, but okay, thanks for listening. And this podcast. And this Tour de France has been so far really great. Like, every breakaway stage has been really great. Yeah.
This is not like last year where every breakaway stage was decided 50 kilometers before the end. I mean, Jungels did a 60 kilometer solo, but it was always close.
Yeah.
And he was maybe getting caught even by the peloton, which was close. So that was fun so far. There weren't too many breakaway stages overall, but they were fun. GC's days were fun. Now we'll see how the next ones are with Jonas so far ahead. It could kind of go into the same situation we had with Pogacar last year. In week 3, where he is too far ahead, but yeah, thankfully Jonas doesn't have like a 5 minute gap on everyone yet, so maybe we'll see some exciting racing still.